Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, and they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before them, before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did so in the, to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that he might fear the Lord your God forever.
We're going to continue with worship. We're going to be singing Solid Rock on page 18. Turn to page 291, Revive Us Again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus. Yes.
turns to page 48. Holy, holy, holy. Turn to page 155, Blessed Assurance.
Jesus.
Seated this morning. As you're seated, why don't you give a big hand to the Hearn Gospel Quartet? Well, this morning we're in the 40s. Enjoy it while it lasts, because we're going to move on to another decade soon enough. So it's good to be here this morning. And we've just got a swell service plan for you. We've got a swell pastor. And we've got a swell program, and we're looking forward to that. If you are a guest with us today, we usually don't do this many hymns, but weren't they great? Yeah. Amen. If you are a guest with us, I just would ask that you fill out the connection card just in the seat back in front of you, and after the service, just go through those back doors into our foyer and drop that off at our connection hub, our hub out there right outside those doors. I want to make note of a few things here before I ask our ushers to come and receive offering, and that is that small groups have begun, but it's not too late to sign up for them. Again, go to the hub. You'll get some information there about the small groups that are available. So you want to take advantage of it. Again, it's not too late to get involved there. Next week, we have our prayer summit, and along with our prayer summit, we're having baptism. So if you are in that position where you're ready to be baptized, let our office know. You can also do that through our connection card again and take that to our info hub. And then lastly, today, right after our second service, we have our ministry partner training, and this is a reminder to those that are coming and those that may want to find out what it means to serve at Christian Center. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Let me read a scripture to you. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Abel gave from his heart. He gave the best. And God honored that and was blessed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are here with us. And Lord, in the difficulties of the times that we face in this decade, Lord, you are with us and you care about us. And Lord, we won't look at the storms around us. We won't look at our deficiencies, but we will look at your sufficiency. And we will come with our very best, because that's what you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Lance.
Well, good morning. Well, the tricky part for me today is to be able to stay behind a pulpit and not do this. So wish me luck. The 40s, you know what I found really interesting about the 40s is we just came out of the dirty 30s and the war broke out in, 41? The war broke out, I believe. And there was such a heart and a passion for prayer. Lord, would you deliver us? God, would you heal our land? You know, some people have asked, well, you know, we have Darth Vader at the back this week. That's definitely not 40s. You're right, that's 70s. And over here, we have the 60s. And at the back, it's 80s. And over here, it's the 30s. This whole sermon series is on decades. And this morning, our focus is on the 40s. So here's some fads for the 40s. Families gathering around the radio. How many people remember that? Anyone? A couple of you? Yeah? Okay, cool. The debut of television, and a famous show sprouted off like Howdy Doody. How many people remember Howdy Doody? What's a Howdy Doody? I don't know what a Howdy Doody. Magic Etchy Sketchy. What's a Howdy Doody?
Say, kids, what time is it?
Howdy Doody time!
Oh, well, howdy doody, boys and girls. And howdy, Buffalo Bob.
Well, howdy there, Mr. Doody. And say, boys and girls at home, and kids here in the gallery, now stay right where you are, kids, because you're going to see Howdy Doody stop Mr. X's fadoozler with our sensational new invention, the switcheroo. But first, come on, gang, let's go!
Yeah. It's howdy. Let's give a rising cheer, boys, howdy doody's here. It's time to start the show, so kids, let's go!
Well, good going.
Wow, I think I saw Fred Tudor sitting in there. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Fred, was that you? Wow, that's pretty cool. Dance was popular, and many dance fads started coming out. One was swing dance, and Shreya and Chad Ireland are going to show us what that was all about. That's amazing. Chad, I would have broke something. The popular toy of the era was something called the Slinky. And that's still around today, different versions and fashions. How many people, your favorite toy was the Slinky? Anyone? Wow, that's pretty cool. There's a bunch of you. You know what? The Slinky debuted in the famous Gimbel's department store during the 1945 Christmas season, and the entire inventory of 400 Slinkies sold out in 90 minutes, priced at $1 a piece. Isn't that amazing? Now, Carolina, would you just come up here and join me for a second? You look amazing. Now, you told me that your favorite toy was the Slinky. What? Why was that such a fun toy?
Because it's the only thing we had.
Okay.
And it was cheap. But you know what? You could do a lot of things, hand-eye coordination, that we didn't know, but we thought it was fun.
Very cool. And what was a memory from the Slinky, you playing with as a little girl with the Slinky?
The memory? My brother taking it away from me all the time.
Oh! And he wanted to play with it?
Yes.
Yeah?
And he did.
Did you ever make it go downstairs?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. He was a lot better at it than I was.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Before you leave, I think you need to practice at that. So this is not for your brother, okay. But this is for you to go home and play with, okay?
Oh, thank you. I'll try during church.
Pastor Phil, would you just give her a hand down there, please? Awesome. Isn't it amazing to reminisce? You know what? Just talking about the Slinky brought Carolina back to that whole place of her brother taking it away, of how he was better at it than she was, of it going down the stairs, of that was the only toy that we had. There's so many things that will help us to reminisce. Photos. You know what? Maybe listening to a song, you remember where you were at a specific time. It's like, man, I remember when that song came out. What about smells? Have you ever gone into somewhere and smelled something and it just brought you back to that place? What about that whole thing of just remembering an item and just seeing that item and just being like, wow, this was so cool. This brings me back to that time. You know, when I was first married, Cindy and I, we didn't have children, and we were planning on having kids, and we decided that we really enjoyed cruises, and we did a few different cruises, but one year we went and did a Disney cruise, and when we did this Disney cruise, it was just so marvelous. The food is magnificent. The service is just a touch above all the rest of them that I've been on. It's just such a great cruise line. And I remember saying to Cindy, wouldn't it be so amazing if we have kids to be able to take them on this, for them to be able to experience this? And sure enough, we then went into that 10 years of difficulty where we realized we couldn't have kids. And some of these dreams at times, I got to tell you, some of these times those dreams just kind of, they seem to dry up. They seem to fade. The color, the vivid color started to go to maybe more black and white, where, Lord, will this ever happen? And then when Mackenzie came, our first miracle baby, and then Lucas 14 or 15 months later, and then our gift, Liberty, it was just such the fulfillment of a promise. And we decided once they got a little bit older that what we would do is take them on that Disney cruise to fulfill that promise. And man, I tell you, we made some amazing memories on that trip. I remember we brought a family with us from Cold Lake. And we went, and how many people have been on a cruise before? Let me just see your hands if you've been on a cruise. Every cruise does a deck party. You know, they do these deck parties where, you know, if you're going to the Caribbean, they'll have a Caribbean band out. The Caribbean band's getting you ready to be able to enjoy the sun and the music and the culture. And it kind of gets you ready for wherever you're going. The cruise prepares food to get you in the mood. The cruise prepares all this stuff to get you ready. But Disney, step above. Their deck party, all of a sudden you go to dinner one night and they hand out all this pirate paraphernalia. We had the eye patch, we had the headbands, we had the swords. Arr! It was awesome. And we went up on the deck, and as the deck party, the band's playing, and the characters are coming out, and they're dancing among the people, and everybody's having a great time. And then all of a sudden, something happens. The spotlight turns to the top of the smokestack on the ship, and Captain Hook and his minions are up there. And he says, "You call this a pirate party, but yet nobody invited the pirate." They rappel down the smokestack, and they take over the ship, and they teach everybody this pirate dance. And Minnie Mouse goes, "Oh, who's going to save us? This is terrible." And as that does, another spotlight goes up on the other smokestack, and Mickey goes, "I am here. I will save you." And he zip lines from one smokestack to the other while fireworks are going off at sea. And he gets to the other smokestack and he rappels down that smokestack and he saves. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Mickey Mouse. Know this. He saved my life. He saved my family. That friend that I went with said, "My goodness, Disney does everything." He goes, "The only thing that is missing, and I'm sure it's going to start happening any minute now, is Elton John himself is going to jetpack onto the boat playing 'Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.' That is going to happen any minute now." It was amazing. And then after that show, I went up to the cruise director, and I said to him, I said, "You know what? This is our second Disney cruise." I said, "The first one was 10 years ago, and my wife and I decided that we wanted to have a family and take kids on there, but we couldn't have kids. And then God fixed whatever was broke, and I'm able to bring my three children on this cruise. And as I'm telling him, tears are flowing down my face." And the guy, I don't know if he knew what to say. Like, I'm sure he's had a lot of people say different things. He's just like, "Wow. Thanks for telling me your story." And I was just like, I was connecting so much in that moment with the goodness of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. When a dream becomes a reality, it's epic. It's life-giving. It's special. This morning, one of our elders, Kim Bars, came and read our scripture from Joshua chapter 4, which is our main passage this morning. But before we go there, the Israelites were wandering around the desert for 40 years. The ones who had crossed over the Red Sea that were now had passed away. They would have told God stories to their grandbabies, telling them of the goodness of God, saying, "You know what? I remember walking around a desert for 40 years and not having to change my shoes. I remember when the Lord brought us to the edge of the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the Egyptian army was approaching, and God sent a pillar of fire to block them, and then he sent a mighty wind overnight that dried up, that parted the sea and dried it, so the next day we could walk on dry ground. The Egyptians, they pursued us, and as they pursued us, fear entered in our hearts. But the Lord showed us at that time, because as we walked through on safety, he closed the water and he shut it on the Egyptians, delivering us from slavery. These stories were monumental. These stories were stories about the Lord of hosts. God is faithful. But now, this day, that was all behind them, and the promise of God was before them. The crossing, this crossing of the Jordan was absolutely monumental. For it was the fulfillment of the promise of God. It was no longer a childhood dream, but today it was a reality. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, I'll be reading, of course, in the 40s from the King James Version. "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and they that bear the ark came unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all of its banks. That the water which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, and besides Zarethan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over the dry ground until all the people passed over clean to Jordan. My friends, when God is for you, who can be against you? You may be in a situation and a circumstance right now that looks bleak. You may be in a place right now that looks like there's no answer. But when God is for you, who can be against you? This would have been terrifying, for the Jordan River was a mighty rushing river. In fact, the Bible says that the banks overfloweth. This time the Lord is not taking a night to send a mighty wind and dry up the water, but he's asking the priest to step out in faith. Step into the mighty water, and when you do that, instantly you'll be dried. I love that. God is so creative. And with this generation, it's not just, oh, look at the safe way to go. It was, come on, Joshua generation, you're going to step out in the faith of the Lord. Wait a minute. Something sounds familiar there, doesn't it? Oh, yes. It's our prayer point on the back wall. Number two, we will be a Joshua generation, unhindered by fear, fervently and fearlessly trusting God. God is so amazing. We can step in that place that he's calling us. Can you see it? Can you see the priests? Oh, man, we got to carry this. And look how fast this water's rushing. Okay, you go first. No, you go first. No, you take, honestly, you get the, no, you do it. And there's this commotion going on. Then finally, one guy says, okay, I'll go first, but you better keep going no matter what happens, because if we drop the presence of God, someone's getting fired. So they went out there, and they stood in that place, and God moved. My friends, every one of us need to experience the presence of God for ourselves. We can't live off the experiences of others. We have to boldly come into his presence as children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what? I can't stand before God one day and say, you know what? Yes, I had an okay life, but Lord, you know how amazing my wife was. That's got to count for something. Guess what? It doesn't. I have to step out. I have to be responsible for what God has for me. God has plans for my life, and God has plans for yours. We need our own relationship. We need our own experiences. We need our own intimacies. Can you imagine the emotions that were flying around the camp that day? Oh, did you see that? Did you see what God did? Oh, the water's dry. Oh, man, this is amazing. Let's walk through. God delivered us. Today's the day of the promise. It would have been awesome. Imagine the faith that would have stirred within them. It doesn't matter what giants are in the promised land. Did you see what God did? He's got us. When I was a teen, the first encounter I ever had with the Lord came after a service. I was in that worship service, and I was passionately worshiping the Lord. I gave my life to Jesus, but at this one moment, service ended, and I slipped away to the back, and I just kept worshiping God. I was alone in a back stairwell. I started singing to the Lord, and as I did that, Holy Spirit touched me in a way that 40 years later I never forgot. My friends, God wants to have encounters with us. God wants to passionately woo us into his presence. We live in a time, in an age, where everything is go, 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 go. And if you're not doing something, if you're not busy running around accomplishing something, then all of a sudden it's like we're lazy or we're missing it. It's countercultural. Because God is wanting us just to stop and to come into his presence. My friends, this is something that we can't do for you. This is something that each one of us has to have that desire in our hearts to deeply, intimately walk with the Lord. Are you going through a time right now? I trust that God has the answer. Why? Because he is a good God. He is good all the time. And in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your journey, if God is for you, who can be against? In that supernatural experience that I had after church one Sunday morning, the Lord put a calling on my life to passionately pursue him. And you know what? Later on in my life, I forgot about that calling. In fact, when I hit grade 12, I did this whole job shadowing thing where I was able to follow around. What do you want to do for a living? I said, I felt like I'm called by God. Well, you get to follow around a youth pastor. So I followed around my youth pastor for a day. And as I did that, it was downtown Toronto. I walked around with him and saw what a youth pastor did. And I'm just like, this is so amazing. Lord, I just feel that connection to youth. I feel that you're calling me into your presence. But then I had this little form that I had to fill out from school. And the very last question on that form was, how much does a pastor make for a living? And when he told me, he's like, well, I make $18,000 a year. I'm like, 18 grand a year for a church of 600? I will never do this. This is ridiculous. And I walked away. And I went to business college, and I had it all planned out that, man, I'm going to have a Corvette. That's my dream. Corvette. And 18 grand a year is not going to get it. I call that my Jonah year, where, man, I just had so many rough goes because I stepped out of the presence of God. And I remember being on a missions trip in Poland, and I was just crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, it's so hard right now. Lord, I just don't even know if I'm still a Christian, God. I just feel so empty. And the Lord said to me, he says, son, what did I call you to? And I said, God, I'm not going to make 18 grand a year. I just won't do it. And the Lord says, Lance, do you trust me? I will provide your every need. And I said, Lord, if you're calling me, I spend every cent I have to get to Poland. And Lord, Bible college starts in 2 weeks, and I'm not even enrolled in school. If this is you, God, you need to provide for me, and I'm not taking a student loan. And God provided. It's such a long story, but just open door after open door after open door that I was able to go through for 5 years, and he looked after me so well. And then you know what? When I got out of school, there was no youth pastor positions. And I became a garbage man, driving around, and I was making good money doing that. I'm like, this is awesome. And then, I said, you know what, Lord? There's nothing open for me, God, so I don't know what to do. And I really believe that the Lord said to me, he goes, I want you to trust me. I want you to step out in faith, and I want you to volunteer. So I went to a pastor, one of my professors, who was church planting. I'm like, I want to be your youth children's pastor. He goes, oh, we just started a church plant. I can't afford you. He said, no, I'll do it for free. Because I believe God's called me. And for a year and a half, I served that congregation until my first job as a youth pastor came out. And for 6 years, I made 18 grand a year. I think the Lord just needed to work on my heart and saying, son, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And when we experience the presence of God, monumental doors fly open. Because when God is for you, who can be against you? When you're in the midst of the presence of God, it is so amazing what God does. So the Israelites, after 40 years, finally cross over the promised land. And the very first thing God tells them to do is to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan and to build a memorial. In the first place that you camp, to be a reminder of future generations. Memorials are amazing. This last summer, I was able to take my family on a bit of a staycation. We went to South Dakota. We got to see Mount Rushmore. You know what? What a cool experience. Now, not being American, I felt American. I was just like, wow, I learned so much about the history of this great nation. And I felt this pride that was just inside, like, wow, God, you've placed me here. Thank you, Lord. It was such a cool thing to be able to see the mountain and connect with the history. And that's what memorials do. See, It says, in verse 21 of chapter 4, it says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers to in this time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you passed away over. And the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people in earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. So the very first thing the Lord does after they experience the Lord is then to get them to set up a memorial to be able to tell future generations. See, what that does is it points them to the way of God until they can experience the Lord for themselves. It tells them the stories of God until they can experience the encounter of the Lord for themselves. Face it, we're people who forget. We need reminders in our lives. We need reminders of the wonders of God. I don't know about you, but I've faced challenges in my life where I've needed to stop and say, God, why am I doing this? God, why am I here? And the Lord reminds me of his covenant. The Lord reminds me of his promise. And it stirs faith once again. You know what? Maybe that faith that is deep within you is starting to dwindle. Connect with the presence of God, because he's wanting to passionately fan that into flame. And supernaturally, I speak that forth this morning. Holy Spirit, blow through this place. Holy Spirit, fan into flame that we have forgotten. For God, you want to do it again. Praise you, God.
There's a story that's been told of a professor from the 1940s, Professor Orr, and he was a theologian. He taught theology, and he would take his students to different places, different memorials, to show them marks of spiritual awakening from the past. And he would take them to the church where John Wesley would preach. He took them to the home of John Wesley. And the students walked into the home, and they went into the living room, and they went into the study where John Wesley studied, and his antique books were still lining the walls. On John Wesley's desk were notes, still handwritten notes that John Wesley had written on display. The students then walked up into the upstairs where John Wesley's bedroom was. And as they were in the bedroom, they looked to the side of the bed, and there on the very edge of the bed were two worn patches where John Wesley had spent hours kneeling, because John Wesley knew that prayer wasn't a prerequisite to ministry, that it was the ministry. He knew that the work needed to take place in those moments that he spent in prayer. He didn't just pray and check off his to-do list. He stayed lingering in prayer. He didn't just vocalize prayer to the Lord and give the Lord the things that he wanted to do. He waited on the Lord, waited and waited, and spent hours kneeling where he had worn patches into the floor. The Professor Orr, had explained this all to the students, and then they all left the house, and as they got on the bus, Professor Orr realized that there was one student missing. So he went back into the house, and he searched all over, and then he heard from upstairs a voice. So as the professor walked up the stairs and entered the room, he heard the young student praying, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Bring revival like you did in John Wesley's day. Do it again, Lord. And the professor gave the student a few minutes, and then he walked over and he said, we're all waiting for you. It's time to go. And that young student, Billy Graham, stood up and walked out into his destiny.
We'd ask the team to come. I like to close off messages with an application. So what? So what about today's message, Pastor? What is our takeaways from that? What does that mean for us? My friends, we live in a world that likes lines. There are things in this room that will divide us. There's Republicans versus Democrats. There's Arminianists versus Calvinism. There's the haves and the have-nots of society. There's people who believe that grilled cheese should be dipped in ketchup and people who think that is repulsive. There are things that would have divided the Israelites. I remember one of my college professors, he was a Jewish man, and he told us this joke that I never forgot. He said there was these two brothers, and in Jewish culture, I guess the top honor of a family is if one son would go into become a doctor, and a lawyer was another top order, and it was kind of in that doctor lawyer. There was this one mama, and she had two boys, and one was a doctor and one was a lawyer. Her heart was so filled. And as these boys grew and did their practice, she was so proud of her boys. But this one lawyer was especially smart. He was especially bright, and he started to go into politics. And he became a senator, and he went on from the senator, and he became the president of the United States of America. During his inauguration, the mom sitting on the front row was beaming with pride. Oh! She was so proud, and the news reporters all gathered around her and said, "Miss, must be a great day for you." She goes, "I am so proud." They said, "What makes you so proud?" She goes, "You see that man up there?" Like, "Yeah." "You see that man who's about to become the president of our nation?" She goes, "Yes." "His brother is a doctor." There's things that divide us. There's things that can get us upset. But under the umbrella of unity, I believe the Lord wants to move in a supernatural way. As believers, when we step into the presence of God, all those earthly things seem to fall away. And instead, we go on the sidelines and we cheer one another on to greatness. We cheer one another on to what the Lord has for them. We stand beside, lifting one another up in prayer. The Lord was setting up a reminder for the Israelites that God is their deliverer. God is their provision. God is their answer. And my friends, in our families, we need to do the same thing. We need to be able to share and talk about the love of God. We need to be able to encourage not just people within our own family, but the body of Christ. And we need to point people into the direction that God has for our future. May the Lord bless you.
We're going to be singing the doxology on page 341.
Bless you and keep you. Mary Ann, would you just just continue to play for us? And if you would like prayer for anything, we would love to be able to pray with you this morning. For God is good. And maybe in your life, you just need a reminder of the faithfulness of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a fantastic week. In Jesus' name.